One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
All right, welcome back to the show. Dave, hold it down, man. We're doing a program
Happy
here.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Bobby over on the soundboard.
2019!
First episode of 2019!
Year of degenerates!
Yes, we're recording a little bit different time than we usually do. It'll still air at the same time, but it's nighttime here in the ghetto.
I was surprised you found your way here, Ryan. I saw Ryan on the street as I had to flip a bitch because of the way where our studio is. I have to drive down the street and flip a bitch. I did so, and I saw Ryan walking down the street. And let me just say, because he was wearing that leather jacket he talked about last week, he looked like a shady motherfucker.
He fits right in this area. Absolutely.
Yeah, there was gang members just running away. They're like, I don't want anything to do with that hood. He looks like Fonzie.
I'm able to have a ghetto pass. I look like a ne'er-do-well. This is a different neighborhood at night, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm rarely scared, but I was kind of, and I wasn't tonight, but I was still like,
yeah. You guys will love this.
Head on a swivel at very
because
least.
This is my neighborhood. I live in this neighborhood. Yeah. I skateboard over here sometimes. So last night I was hanging out with one of my friends. My keys fell out of my pocket over at their house. Didn't realize until I got home.
And how does that happen?
As I've told you before,
you don't have OCD enough like I do, where you check your pockets every 3.5 seconds.
No, I do, and I keep putting things in different pockets, and it always freaks me out.
Oh, you don't have assigned pockets?
No, no.
You're insane.
Yeah,
what is this?
Absolutely.
The Wild West?
It's the worst of both worlds.
You guys are nerds.
So, as I've told you guys before, I have my house set up so I can break in 9 seconds.
Yes, exactly.
Piece of cake. So I did that, and I have a spare key. That's the linchpin to my break-in method.
Uh-huh.
It's hidden somewhere that no one could ever find it. So now I've been carrying that around, and when I called a Lyft to come here tonight, I couldn't find it. So I left my doors unlocked.
You're insane. It's fucking insane. Right now, people are stealing everything you own.
Oh, man.
How
both blankets. All three pairs
Come
of blue
on.
Jeans. No,
one
ruined.
Pillow.
How can you possibly concentrate on what's going on here? That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens when I get back.
Speaking of this place being in the ghetto, do you guys notice the car dealership that's directly in front of this building?
Sure, yeah.
Which, okay, so it's a used car lot. And in the center of it, what they use as their base of operations, where you usually see an office building, there's just this dilapidated house from the 20s sitting there.
It's the oldest house on the block. It's a historic building.
Yeah, they can't take it down.
They can't take it down. They're just like, well, fuck it. This fucking condemned house. So you got a bunch of 2009 Mazdas and the house behind the Bates Motel just chilling in the middle with an Armenian dude sticking his head out of it. I swear to God, I saw a silhouette of an old woman holding a knife in the upstairs window.
See, here's the thing about historic buildings, they don't all have to be preserved. Like, if it's really shitty, just let that one go.
Just
because it's old, come on.
It's like, this house has been here since 1920. Who lived in it? No one. All right, fucking level it.
You know what else is around in 1920? Polio. We got rid of that. Let's fucking move along, all right?
Yeah, speaking of which, there's probably an iron lung in the attic of that house somewhere.
Oh, Ryan, by the way, I think I owe you an apology before we get started on the show.
I should say you do.
Bob Einstein, a comedian, died today.
Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah, Super Dave. And so I posted something, and he's very well known for his voice. Like, he has a very raspy voice.
Sure.
And I put a post up that said, you know, rip Super Dave, and now Ryan Shores is the raspiest.
Officially the raspiest.
Especially the raspiest comedian. And I didn't realize how close visibly the words raspiest and rapiest are. Like, it is one letter away from me being like, Ryan Shore's assaulted.
You're the only person who didn't notice how close those were. Everybody else was like, whoa.
I'm so used to being called both that I just thought that's what you meant. I didn't correct you if you noticed. I just liked the status and moved on and said, all right, buddy. Speaking of rapey, I listened to the CK bit.
Great segue.
Yeah. I listened to the leaked audio from shamed comedian Louis CK. I listened to it.
Well, here's the thing. Let's set it up in case people don't know. Okay. Someone recorded his set in a comedy club and released it, and some other media outlets picked like a 2-minute chunk and publicized that and said, oh, look at what he's doing. He's making fun of the Parkland shooting survivors.
Right. And since then, it's just everything from just people on Facebook that are friends to every article everywhere. Louis's a piece of shit. We didn't realize what a horrible person he was. But that's fine. That's your opinion. That's called an op-ed piece. You're more than welcome to say, I feel these jokes make him a piece of shit. But then something kind of scary started to happen, which is people turned away from what Louis said and started taking aim at how you felt about it and what it says about you if you liked it.
Right.
And I think that's a very dangerous and scary mentality to have when you start looking away from the person you hate and now saying, by the way, We all hate them too. And by the way, if you don't also hate this, then you're in my crosshairs as well.
Yeah.
Now I have my sights trained on you. I knew that was happening. The tide was heading that way when a female lawyer that I'm friends with, that I very much respect, I saw her, and this might have been aimed at me because I just said, if you don't like it, don't laugh. She's like, claims to be feminist, but then says that the people will choose if Louis is successful or not. Interesting. I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing.
Yes, that is exactly what you should claim. You should claim that the people get to decide they listen to. Otherwise, what you're saying is, I should decide what you listen to.
And I saw everything from he's ragging on transgenders, or the whole thing was about how fuck the Parkland shooting victims, all that. And it's been nonstop. If you like Louis, you think this was funny, you're a bad person, and I will take you to task for it. I will put you on blast. Everyone's saying that kind of thing.
There are so many layers to this situation. It's insane. There's the knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, fuck him. He can't say shit like that. Right. That's disgusting. Then there's the pushback of like, whoa, you can't record someone's set and release it.
That's my first interpretation.
But then there's the irony of like, oh, are you saying that...
Now you believe in consent?
Exactly.
The whole point is Louis never violated consent laws. Everything he was accused of doing, he asked, can I do this? And they said, said no, he didn't do it. So in that thing, you are not making a point when you say that.
Fair enough. But so continue, Dave.
Well, then there's just pushback versus pushback. Like you said, people are like, oh, you can't say that. Oh, well, what about this? And Doug Stanhope had a good one. He's like, take Louis out of the equation. If this happened to any other comic, you'd be pissed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what the club is for, is to work out jokes. Now, I listened to just the little chunk, not the whole thing. And I thought his Parkland shooting joke wasn't very good.
Right.
Not because he was making fun of the kids. It just wasn't clever. Like, Louis is good at being clever. He's made us, or me at least, laugh at child molesting. He's made us laugh at hating children. He's made us laugh at, like, shit that's wrong. This didn't have that cleverness to it. But he's working it out.
Yes. And that's why it's in the club. This is what's infuriating, too, is like people are saying, oh, yeah, look at what he's doing. He's trying to go this other direction. No, he's not. This is his brand. All he does is, I'm going to go on an outrageous premise that there's no way you would agree on. And by the end of this, you're going to agree with me.
Right.
Okay, now listen to this. Now, let me break it down because I just listened to it after, by the way, first seeing all these articles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to break down the accusations in these articles and by the majority of people. First of all, the very worst part for me about listening to that audio was the fucking mouth breather that recorded its laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this guy. You can tell he's fucking dumb. He has this obnoxious laugh. Bobby, I forgot what it was like to sit in an audience at a comedy show, because I haven't sat in a comedy audience in 10 years.
Right.
Because every time, because I'm either on the show and watching from the back, or I pulled a douchebag move and showed up at the club and pulled rank and got in for free, but now I have to stand at the back because there's no seats for me.
Right.
And I've watched it that way. It's been a decade since I had to sit next to a stranger at a comedy show, and he had that laugh that only stupid people have, where he did this in between laughs. I have never heard a fucking smart person do that.
I haven't hung out around Stephen Hawking enough.
Oh my God. So that was the worst part for me. So, first of all, they said he did not address his accusations at all. Wrong. The whole first part of that is him just basically saying, yep, I've fallen from grace, and talking about he's lost all his friends and $35 million, and you know what? I laughed. You know why? Because laughing is an involuntary response.
Sure.
I didn't go in going, I'm going to laugh at everything he says because he's a comedian and I support rapists or whatever people call him. I just said, all right, we'll see if this is funny. His whole opening bit about his fall from grace, I thought that was hilarious. So number one, to all the articles that he never even addressed it. Yes, he did. Number two, they said he ridicules trans people. Wrong. He does not. He points out that he finds people that are non-binary, gender fluid, and don't have a gender to be far-reaching. So that's what he says, which is not the same as saying, fucking trannies are freaks.
Right.
It's not the same thing. And Dave, you're right. He made an unfunny joke about the Parkland shooting that a little bit made me laugh at the beginning. I'm going to be honest. And guess what? Come at me. I had an involuntary response, which was I laughed.
First of all, everybody who's outraged shut the fuck up because he didn't put this out. This is the stupidest outrage I've ever heard because he's doing this to a club, a private audience. This is not for public consumption. This is, I am trying this out. This is like going to somebody's rough drafts of writing something, pulling out a rough draft and pointing out, hey, this is racist. Yeah, I was going to fix that later in the final draft. Like, you are not gauging somebody on what they're actually going to present to the world. You're gauging them on their rough draft. And that is a shitty way to do it.
But here's the thing. There are people out there who think he doesn't deserve the right to have a rough draft or
have
any sort of
assholes.
Shit.
Yeah, those people are assholes.
They're like, oh, no, fuck him. He did this, so now he doesn't have a right to keep his material secret. He doesn't have a right to perform without being publicized, all this shit, whatever.
Yeah, and those people are assholes. So truth time. My wife and I actually got into a fight over this. Just yesterday, she's like, did you hear about the Louis thing? And I was like, all right, babe, I got to... Fuck the person who recorded them. That should be the story. Fuck the person who decided to go in. And by the way, it is against the law to do that. That is the same as recording a movie at a movie theater.
If you
and
guys
then
can't see me, I'm rolling my eyes doing the jerking off hand motion right now.
Buddy, in front of us, and we did not consent to that.
Fuck you if you go to somebody's show who is trying to perfect their time and then record that and then put it out as if that's their final product, because that's just a shitty thing to do. And it's also disingenuous because it's not really what he's saying. And then my wife was like, yeah, and he's a sexual predator. And I was like, no, okay, so this has gone too far. Let's classify him where he is. He's a creepy dude who did some creepy things. He's not a sexual predator. You know why? He asks people's permission. Two times he masturbated in front of people. Again, two times, not a whole lot. Two times he masturbated in front of people. The other two times that he's accused of, he asked somebody if he could. They said no, and he went away and apologized. That's not what a predator does. Wolves don't go up to fucking deer and go, hey, is it okay if I eat you? And they go, no. And you go, all right, fine. That's not a fucking predator. A predator, by definition, is somebody who is violating that consent.
Well, you're steering the conversation to whether or not what he did was wrong or right. And that's not what I'm trying to do.
I understand that. I'm just starting out with the fact that people have already misclassified him because we live in a society who's so eager to jump on whatever they see and assume they know things. People made up fantastic stories about him blocking people in rooms. All this bullshit that never happened.
But there's an interesting thing about that. The interesting thing is that it's hard to take the other side of that argument. It's hard to defend someone who's a creep and say, hey.
Yes, it is.
He's
exactly.
just a creep. He's yeah. not a yeah. rapist. It's really hard to be
totally.
The person to.
Totally.
So
because
people don't do that.
Because what you come off is people are like, oh, so you support him? No, I don't support him. I think it's a creepy-ass thing to do. I think it's creepy. I also think you need to distinguish between creeps and predators because they're different things. So, like, here's what he's accused of. In 2002, before anybody knew who the fuck he was outside of, like, comedy circles, he was at a comedy festival. He invited these two ladies who were also in the festival back to his hotel room. He asked them if he could masturbate in front of them. They said yes. He did. They giggled the whole time, and then they left the room, and everybody kind of felt weird about it. Is that a creepy thing? Hell yes. Is that a weird thing to do? If I heard about somebody in the comedy community doing that, would I warn other comedians about it? Hell yes. Is that predatory? No, he's another comedian who asked other comedians consent to a sexual act.
But why they were up there.
Sure, but I mean, he asked them, "Can I do this?" And they said yes. At some point, you have to say somebody is responsible for consenting. If not,
well, now you're getting into like a power balance, and like you're not going to say no to someone who could ruin your career.
But
this
was 2002, Louis. He's not the guy who can totally trash your career with this. He is a guy who is a touring comedian grinding it out like everybody else. Again, I'm not defending the action. I'm saying there's a difference. There's a difference between that and the guy who brings somebody up to their room and then forces them into a sexual act. That is a very different thing. Right. And if you don't distinguish between those two, you're making your claims later of this is a sexual predator kind of bullshit because you've claimed this guy who isn't one is.
Then again, we're going in too much to the incident rather than what I'm trying to point out, which is people aren't even discussing, hey, if you defend what he did, you're a bad person. It's if you laugh at his jokes a year later, you are a misogynist and a rape apologist.
Right. That's another thing is a lot of people coming out now saying like, you know what? I never thought he was that funny. Bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Bullshit. And that's what I'm going to end on for this topic is that every single article and every single person keeps saying, oh, he's flipped. He's trying to pander to the other side.
He's going Owen
Benjamin. He's trying to come off like the drunk uncle that doesn't care that he's offensive because he already has alienated the millennials. Now he's going after the Trump supporters' support. No.
Yeah.
I listened to that whole thing, and that is the exact same Louis as I heard in 2006, 2007, and 2008. It's the same guy who's trying to go as to push the envelope as far to the edge as he possibly can, and he's doing so in a club where when he says something like, yeah, the Parkland shooters are fucking just pushed a fat kid in the way, and that's why you get to be on TV. And when he hears people go, ugh, he goes, all right, that's not on the special.
Yeah, no, that's his brand. He's been doing that forever.
Plus, he did the whole set with his dick out, so I mean, what's the big deal?
But he didn't touch it, so it was okay. Yeah, that's his brand. He's been doing it forever. I think, just to bring it all back, I think the origins of that, of how dare you laugh at it, comes from people blowing that initial incident out of proportion. And just so I'm clear on my position, he did a bunch of creepy stuff after that, too. That wasn't the only thing. He did four or five other creepy things up to, like, 2005. All of those things are reasons I wouldn't want him to be my friend or hang out with my friends or anything else. I also think there's a difference between demonizing weird sexual behavior that's still consensual and being a sexual predator.
Yeah. So in closing, to all the people saying, if you found him funny, you are in my sights too. I laughed. Come at me.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's not the same thing as me taking my dick out in front of somebody. It's not.
It's just not.
All right. Speaking of jokes, Dave, I don't know if you saw this.
I was tagged in it, so yeah.
Okay. So Ellen DeGeneres just put out her special.
Uh-huh.
And she, just to back it up a little bit, a tragedy happened in 2018 here in San Diego. A local favorite comedian, Jimmy Wolpert, died tragically, drowned, very young. He had a signature joke where he says, Dave, what's the joke?
You know, I got myself a new stepladder. I'm never going to love it as much as my real ladder, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, play on words. And, you know, when I heard it, I went, and that's pretty much the extent
of
it.
It's funny, it's clever, it's classic Jimmy. Like, that was his brand. It was like wordplay, silly.
Right. And on Ellen's special, she has a very similar joke. She made the same observation that it has that root word in it and went, I have lots of ladders. When I married my famous wife, Portia, well, she had a ladder too. And that's now I have a step ladder. But I love it just as much, though. I'm like, okay, she thought of the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I just thought convergent thinking. I mean, because...
parallel thought, for sure.
Yeah, because step ladder, like you can see how if you are... that is a clear train of thought to something else.
Yeah.
Sure. And so, in the comedy community, the joke is posted in, you know, a lot of our local groups, and it's like, can you believe this? Ellen stole from Jimmy, knowing he's dead.
Well, I don't think it was that.
Yeah, it was.
It was, look, Ellen's doing Jimmy's joke.
No, it was stolen. They use the word stolen joke.
I feel like that's from somebody who has never had a parallel thought joke. Like, Dave has talked about this before, and I think Dave...
I've lost so many jokes to so many good comics.
You have a great philosophy on this, which is basically like, it doesn't matter if you did it first. If somebody else more famous than you is doing the joke, you have to abandon it because nobody's going to care about your fucking explanation. Nobody's going to go look at the records you kept of doing this joke in 2012. Abandon it. Just get out of there. Parallel thought happens. Don't make people think you stole it. I have had that happen so many times.
Yeah.
And you just, if once it happens, you realize, oh yeah, I mean, I could see how somebody else could have easily come up with this exact same premise and punchline. The stepladder one is a very easy, very short,
it's
easy
very
wordplay.
It's very easy to see where someone takes that leap. Now, when there's like other jokes like that involves personal experience,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
For instance, a joke thief around town named Bo, he took a joke from Bill Engvall where it's very specific, where he used to live out in the country, and his neighbor had a rabbit named Fluffy, and he saw his dog shaking the rabbit in his teeth, and then he freaked out and didn't want his neighbor to know, so he washed it off, blow-dried it, right, and put it back in his cage, and then the neighbor said, well, after we buried our rabbit, someone put him back in his cage. And so he tried, when he was called out by me, he went, parallel thought?
Yeah.
No, that is not, there's no way you made that leap.
And by the way, this is great incentive. I was thinking about this a little bit because I'm writing a new set, and I was thinking about this as I was doing it, this is great incentive to personalize what you write. If your material is personalized enough, it's unstealable. Good luck stealing Mitch Hedberg's material.
Right.
Good luck, right? Like, good luck stealing that if that's all delivery, you know?
Yeah. So,
do you think that some of the people that, like, you know, jumped into, like, because I swear to God, they use the word stolen, that accused Ellen, someone who's ostensibly never seen or heard of Jimmy,
right,
from stealing. Do you think it's a little bit that, you know, people are sad that he's dead, so there's...
That's definitely part of it.
There's a little more emotion involved.
I think it's that ignorance, though. I think it's people haven't had the experience of writing a joke, performing it for a long time, knowing you didn't steal it. I wrote this. I remember the night I was drunk with my buddy at the coffee shop. I remember writing this,
right,
and then seeing somebody else do something similar and realizing that person never fucking saw me. That's just parallel thought.
Right.
Well, another comic came in and said that someone else, Jay London, another semi-famous comic, he's been doing the joke for like almost 10 years, like before Ellen, before Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like same joke, same wordplay.
Yeah.
It's parallel thought.
I don't think it's these people are purposely lying about it to cause controversy. I just think they haven't had that experience. And once you have that firsthand experience, you kind of think twice before calling somebody else a joke thief, right? Yeah. And it's different too. You have to also take into account like factors around it. Like, let's say there was a joke that could have been parallel thought, but Dave starts doing it and it was Ryan's joke. We're all going to be a little bit more suspicious because we've got a bunch of shows together and you said blah, blah, blah. But when it's Ellen and Jimmy, there's enough of a gap there that you can kind of say it probably wasn't stealing.
Right.
Yeah. Got my hands on some DMT.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Not to steal Joe Rogan's podcast topics. Parallel thought, bro. So DMT, Bobby, can you explain to our listeners who might not know what DMT is?
It'll fuck you up. It's a hallucinogen. It's an interesting one, though, because it lasts for only like 15 minutes. If you think of LSD, you think of psilocybin, you think of ayahuasca, you think of a lot of those other ones. And by the way, DMT is the active ingredient in ayahuasca. But if you take the raw ingredient, all that stuff, you're talking multiple hours, 6 hours, 10 hours. Some
is this
of
similar
these,
like peyote, shit like that, or not
well,
really?
Well, no, because like even peyote is also like up to 20 some odd hours.
Right, but same effects?
No, because there's more visual stuff. Okay. It's smoked, so there isn't the sickness of peyote where you get vomit and you throw it up and stuff. But this is like a weird thing. It's sometimes called the lunch break hallucinogen because it starts and ends in like 15 minutes and then you're back to normal. But the intensity is supposed to be crazy. I say supposed to. I haven't tried it myself. But complete visualizations. People talk about being just completely taken to another world. A lot of times people will say, if you're doing it, and this was my experience with salvia, which was very similar, is have somebody else hold the device you're smoking from because it hits you so fast that you will drop it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I went to the Phantom Zone.
Okay.
So
wait, time out. You're saying there's a market for Nerf smoking devices.
Oh!
$1 million idea.
First of all, that's just good for stoners in general. We are not coordinated people.
Actually, the little dabber, I did a dabber that you would take wax dabs out of, because that's what my guy had, and it did feel like a Nerf thing. It was like the little squeezy thing. But anyways, that's why I won't do acid, by the way, Bobby, or won't, I haven't yet, is because actually someone gave me 2 hits of acid as a present. they're sitting in my house right now in the safe.
Same friend, same gifts. Yeah.
I'm like,
I don't want to do it either. I've never done acid.
I'm like, how long does this last? He's like, 8 hours. I'm like, ooh, bit of a time commitment.
Yeah.
It'd be funny.
If I don't like it in the first half hour, I'm like, oh, only 7.5 more hours.
It'd be great if he's like, yeah, they're sitting in my house right now in the cupboard. I just put them in like a random piece of food, like a random granola bar. You know, just give myself a surprise every random Sunday.
Church is going to be a blast today.
I know people that do that. That is so fucked up.
What an interesting work day.
Yeah. So anyways, that's why I agreed to do DMT the first time. This previous time was not the first time I did it, but it was the first time my wife did it.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's what happened the first time. We had band practice at my house, and a guy that was filling in on one of the instruments, he comes in, he's like, hey guys, I got DMT. And so I was too scared at first until they told me, like, it only lasts 15 minutes, so if you don't like it, just fucking hang out for a second, it'll be over. So that's what made me agree to it. But one of the members of my band tried it first. When he did, he stood up, which you're not supposed to do. He hunched over the coffee table, propped himself up, and started patting his crotch, which is when Aaron walked in and went, what's going on? I'm like, he did DMT, he's tripping out. And she goes, hey, by the way, my wife's cool. She didn't care, but her first thought was, oh my God, he lost his dick. He can't find his dick. That shit makes you think you lost your dick. I'm not trying that. And so he came back from the Phantom Zone in like 15 minutes. He's like, I was on another planet, but I could hear you guys. And Aaron, I did not lose my dick. I thought I'd peed myself, and I was checking to see if I had or not.
By the way, pro tip, and I've heard this from a lot of people, again, I haven't done it myself, but if you're going to do DMT, go to the bathroom first. Go ahead and get that out of the way. You know, you don't want that on your mind.
Probably. So anyways, I did it that time, and I just went into a cartoon world. So everything was The Simpsons, basically. You guys were just drawings, you know. So that's kind of how it was my first time. So this next time we got it, 2 nights ago, I'm like, we're talking to Aaron into it. Like, if you don't like it, babe, just wait. I did it first, and what it looked like is, you ever played Mario Kart Rainbow Road?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Rainbow Land. Nice. So that was great.
3 green shells around you, you know, just for good measure.
Yeah. So Aaron tries it, and then and immediately lays down on the floor, like, oh. And just lays there. And all of a sudden, just like my friend had started patting his crotch, She starts patting her chest like this. I'm like, oh my God, she lost her boobs. She lost her boobs.
Ah, she's like, no, I just thought I peed on my boobs.
Yeah. And then she looked at me and started cracking up. And I'm like, what's the, and so she finally came back. She's like, first of all, I did not lose my boobs. I just had to make sure I was still here. Imagine.
That's always a good thing to do, though. Like, you know, just every once in a while, just be like, am I still around? Yep, okay, fair enough, in the corporal world.
And then she laughed at me because when I was like, are you okay? She looked over and I was Pac-Man. My mouth was all big, like, bah, 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 bah. So anyways, yeah, I got a guy, Bobby.
Nice.
Maybe we should do it on the air.
I was thinking about that. What if we do it?
That would be the worst podcast ever. It would
no,
just be,
it would only last 15
hey,
minutes.
Rogan is
15
super
minutes
popular.
Of complete silence, like just nothing, as somebody was drooling in the background. You
someone
know what it sound like?
You that would be better than this episode.
It would sound like that guy laughing in the background of the Louis C.K. podcast.
Oh, that's great,
Bobby. Before we turned on the mic, you said a Christmas miracle happened to you that you forgot to talk about.
Dude,
last time.
I had a Christmas miracle. It was fantastic.
So right, we just covered that.
We were gonna go to a party. Like a friend was throwing a Christmas party. We're really excited. They throw this party every year. We've gone for like 10 or 15 years,
and they let you off the hook and said it's canceled.
No.
Yes,
no, we love.
I love that.
No. I have a kid, so we like going out and seeing our friends when we can. And so we were super excited. We realized, oh no, we're gonna have to bring our kid. We're gonna have to bring our son. They had originally said no kids. They realized we couldn't come if we didn't bring our son, and so they were like, I guess you can bring him. So we were like, all right, I guess we're gonna bring our kid, fine, that's better than nothing, get ready to go. And then a Christmas miracle happened, which is that my in-laws who live
died.
My brother and sister-in-law,
his house burned down.
Yeah, not that far, but close. My brother and sister-in-law lived next door to us, and they couldn't watch our kid because they were going out and having their fun time for their Christmas night party too. Except my brother-in-law decided to put his wife, my sister-in-law's, contact lenses in
on a snowman when it came to life.
And he attacked us all. Instead of putting it in contact lens solution the night before, he put it
in an acid.
Yes, actually. He put it in earwax solution, which is acid. She put it in her eyes and got severe chemical burns.
Oh, yeah. God.
And immediately blinded herself and could not leave the house. And then we had a babysitter.
So you gave your baby
second.
Like,
wait.
So you gave your baby to a woman who couldn't see?
Yeah, she could kind of like see shapes and stuff.
Given Bobby's penchant for vigilante justice and the elaborate series of events that happened here, I feel like this is less a miracle than it is a setup.
That's not justice? I'm not getting justice.
No, it's not justice. This is setup.
It's just a selfish act that you did to get a free babysitter,
no,
I think.
No.
That's what me thinks.
But it was great because we showed up to the party and yelled, it's a Christmas miracle. My sister-in-law's eyes are burned out of their sockets.
And I left my kid with her. Yeah. Hopefully we shut the door on the way out, because if he wanders out, she won't know about it.
And then we got wasted.
Where's the cider?
It was great. It was a great night.
Oh, that's hilarious. I like your classification of miracle.
I know. It was like Miracle on 32nd Street. Like, I was, like, running around, like, whoa, it's a Christmas miracle.
What's that movie about? It's not illegal to think you're Santa Claus. Why is that guy on trial? I haven't watched it in 30 years, but I just feel like they're like, this guy thinks he's Santa Claus. You're doing a hard time, asshole. Like, that's it's not a crime.
I never thought about that. That's true.
Yeah, he's on trial for thinking he's Santa Claus.
Different times back then.
Different times. Be like, well, they want to test his mental stability. They just have a quick interview.
Yeah. Yeah, and also I feel like it's, even then, if you were like mentally unstable enough to think you're Santa Claus, they're just like, all right, well, he's not hurting himself. Yeah. Like, unless he's constantly like rounding up reindeer from the zoo and trying to fly off in a sled that might go off
pushing
a cliff.
Pushing off a roof.
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
Well, you know, I mean, all those movies sucked. Fucking It's a Wonderful Life. Some dude was going to take the coward's way out and leave his family behind, but then everyone paid him not to kill himself. Fuck that movie, too.
He thinks he's Santa Claus. They're like, I don't know that it's really a restable offense. He keeps attacking dwarves. All right, fine. I guess that counts.
He held a dwarf in his hotel room, whipped out his dick, and wouldn't let him leave
until he made a bunch of toys.
Toy.
And then... And the very next year, like, if you accept presents from Santa, you're a bad person. You are not a feminist if you accept presents this year. All right, so before we wrap up, any New Year's resolutions?
You guys, are you into New Year's resolutions or not so much?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea, not just for New Year's, but in general, to like set goals of improving yourself.
Right.
And I think too many people like pass it off as like, fuck that, blah, 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 I'm fine, or I don't need to do it. It's like, no, you can always be better.
I shit on people who make New Year's resolutions because whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, it's a good idea. So many people are so jaded, like, oh, why you got to wait till New Year's to do this shit? It's like,
yeah,
because that's a great starting point.
Yeah, yes. Too.
Everybody's on board. It's like a national thing. It's like, hey, we're all going to do this
shit together. It's a good starting point.
And not only that, but there's a weird sense of accountability because people like will say, hey, what's your New Year's resolution? And it's an open forum to
it's
say-
It's like a social contract.
Yeah, this is how I'm going to improve myself over this time. And if you stick to it, it's good. Like last time I was like, I'm fucking crazy overweight because of my kid and stuff. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this keto diet. And I did, and I worked really, really hard at it. And I did. That was a good thing for me. So
you know, Bobby, typically the woman gains the weight during pregnancy. You're aware of that, right? Yeah. That wasn't just a license to eat candy.
Well, I- Guess not, but yet here we are. I actually think New Year's resolutions is passe or whatever, as you want to like, if you want to give it that hipster, like, ooh, fuck that. That's so lame. That's your grandfather's way of doing things. It's a good idea whether you do it on New Year's Eve or whenever. Set yourself a goal. Go for it. My wife and I did that. And then you talk about it too. And when you talk about it, other people will then kind of be like, later on, they'll be like, really? I thought you were doing keto. Weren't you going to lose some weight? Why are you eating this fucking cake?
Right. I did not do resolutions for a lot of years because I was in, I wouldn't call it a downward spiral, but but I was not making the most healthy decision. From like the time that I quit mixed martial arts through the time I became a comedian until I was about 29, I wasn't making great decisions.
Right.
I was drinking a whole lot more than I am now, and it just it, people are like, so what's your New Year's resolution? I'm like, are you fucking kidding? I'm like, I drink vodka in the morning. I'll try and stop, but I don't think I'm gonna. Do you know how I wake myself up on Saturdays? I call Domino's the night before, and I'm woken up with a Philly cheesesteak pizza at 11 shortly after they open, and I fucking sit there and I eat it and watch Cops. Now these days, I have a lot more of a healthy routine. I go to the gym several times a week. I'm in jiu-jitsu. I have a lot of hobbies and stuff. So I've been able to try and like try and add onto those. I'm like, all right, I want two more stripes on my jiu-jitsu belt.
Great. That's a great one. And that, by the way, before you go any further, I think that's a great way to do it where you make realistic goals.
Specific.
Oh, yeah.
Specific and realistic.
And attainable,
those,
yeah.
Those people who are like, all right, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. It's like, fuck you. Now you're screwing yourself because there's no way you're going to achieve
that. Or the way that I go, which is bad, is just vague. I'm going to finish one of my screenplays.
Right, exactly.
It's so vague and like, what are you
going to
do?
You say this specific one that I've been working on, I am going to do this thing. I am going to set, and another one, by the way, this is another thing to help you out, is set deadlines. That isn't just by 31st of next December. It's like halfway through the year, I want to be at this point and I want to have this done by this time.
Yeah, you need bullet points on all your goals. Like for instance, I can't just walk in and do a really good job one day at jiu-jitsu and get two stripes. It's like, all right, well, I at minimum, that means I have to go twice a week.
Yeah.
Which days am I going to go? All right, if I miss one day, I have to go on Saturday. So, like, doing those things. But last year, I knew a girl that said, I want to learn French. I'm like, by when? Like, next year? I'm like, have you ever taken French? No. And she was all indignant about it. Like, don't tell me what I can and can't do. I'm like, usually I wouldn't, but in this one instance, you're not learning a new language that amount of time.
Ah, you could do Rosetta Stone. You never know.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah. But, Dave, to your point, when I was just fucking drinking and going on tour a bunch, that's all I did. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to make any disingenuous fucking resolutions. Fuck you. I don't want to quit smoking yet.
Right.
Yeah, so I think you make it specific. You make it geared towards a certain thing. You make it doable and attainable. So you have your two stripes. Do you have anything else that you
want? Yeah, I want to transition from machines to free weights.
Okay.
But you know what? That's going to be a little bit difficult because new year, new me, people.
Right.
The fucking flood the goddamn gym. Yep. I can't get on a goddamn machine. And that's when those people we talked about on a previous episode, that you just see them like they're using machines incorrectly. They're like balancing a dumbbell on top of their head. Like, burn that middle section. I'm like,
good
what?
For core strength.
Stop. They're doing a handstand on the fucking bench machine. I'm like, stop it.
So, I like the idea of a guy with a weight on his head. He's like, I call this the African getting water workout. I just balance it right here.
So, yeah, free weights, two stripes, and I'm 225. I want to slim down to 210.
Oh, right.
I think 15 pounds is a good amount where I can keep it off. Because some people that just fucking they shed 20 pounds and it comes right back.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as they hit, like, bam, 210, they shove a Snickers down their mouth, like, oh, I've done it.
Well, plus it'll be much easier for you because you're doing jiu-jitsu, which is just a crazy workout.
Yeah.
Also, he's going to learn French.
Oui, oui.
What about you, Dave?
Next podcast is going to be all in French, so guys, get ready.
I am Gerard Depardieu.
I did the bullshit thing again this year where I posted about like how, well, first of all, a lot of our friends had a bad 2018.
Okay.
They were posting about how shitty the year was. So I just posted, like, you know what? My year was pretty good. Here's some pictures of fun shit that I did. 2019 has a lot of potential. I'm going to launch two podcasts, and I want to finally get some of these projects going. But again, I was vague.
Yes.
I was like, I'm going to write a screenplay. I was going to finish a sketch, whatever. Wasn't specific, which is a bad way to do it. However, I have also committed to, like, you guys know I'm very, I have a lot of social anxiety.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't like doing things outside my comfort zone. So I've been trying to push that. So just as an example, today is January 2nd. Yesterday.
I went to an orgy.
No, that was Friday. No, yesterday I took a little bit of mushrooms just on a whim.
Oh, really?
Which is something I would normally never do. Because like,
wow.
I need to be prepared. I need
yeah,
to be,
yeah.
It was just one cap, one stem.
Okay.
And they're really mild. But I was like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I'll do that.
Was it a good time?
Yeah, it was fun.
Jesus Christ, how is it that you guys are doing a bunch of hallucinogens and I'm not involved?
And today, our buddy Zoltan...
Because you might
going,
blind me with acid and take my stash!
Here, watch this kid. our buddy Zoltan's been going to boxing classes forever,
yeah.
And he's always been hitting me up to go with him, so today I went with him.
Oh, nice. You had fun?
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. But like, nice. I'm trying to do shit where normally I would say no. I'm like, all right, let me do this. Let me extend my comfort zone.
You've become Jim Carrey in Yes Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
You should have said no to that.
I got some simple ones. I'm going to finish up my master's thesis.
Oh, that's so simple, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Piece
yeah.
of cake.
Well, no, I guess specific.
You already have your master's, though.
No, I have all my master's coursework done. I don't have my thesis done. So,
you never got your you never actually got your master's?
No, no.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How the hell did you become a scientist?
You don't need that. No.
You just fucking you talked your way into a job you're not qualified for.
No, I hadn't even started my master's program when I started working.
Wait a minute. You can just be assigned with a bachelor's?
Yeah. If you have the right background, like most...
Listen, Ryan, if you want to be an archaeologist, all you need is a shovel and willpower. That's it.
Now, if you have an undergrad degree in a field school, you can get in as a low-level field tech and work your way up from there. Same thing with most biotechs. Biotechs guys are mostly bachelor's people, and then, you know, if you want to get higher up to
Wait,
be PI,
so what happened that you never got your master's? This is blowing my mind.
Oh, I was doing, like, a crazy work project where I'd finished all my coursework, but then I was doing a 7-day-a-week, 10-hour-a-day archaeology project that...
Life got in the way.
Yeah,
huh?
That got
Digging
in the way.
Bodies.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't end up finishing my thesis, and so I've been working on, you know, getting back into it, and now I see the path, and I'm like, all right,
so
I'm
you just
do
never
this.
Turned in your last assignment?
I never did the last. I started a few different thesis projects and possibilities, but I have to go back.
What's
and
your thesis
do it.
Now?
We're going to see.
That the earth is flat.
We're going to see what gets approved. I've set two possibilities to my thesis advisor, and so we'll see what they say.
Yeah, his first thesis was, you can convince a flat earther that he's wrong, but the test subject was not so cooperative.
I got to say he was wrong on quite a few things, actually, if you remember. So, I don't know.
Jesus.
No, he did. Never mind.
Oh, yes, he did.
Okay, fine, fine.
He said he didn't know what a lunar eclipse was, and he was wrong about that. He said he...
He also didn't know what a booby was. That doesn't matter. All right, so finish your master thesis. Anything else? How about making amends to that lady you blinded?
It wasn't me! Stop saying it was me!
Maybe we throw that on the list.
Stop saying it was me!
The ninth step of Alcoholics Anonymous. You go around apologizing for some
shit. This is how people get mislabeled predators. It was not me! I want to do that, and I want to get...
To be fair, she couldn't see me when I pulled my dick out.
I want to get better at meditation and practice that more regularly.
How are you going to do that?
To actually do it. You know, you actually sit down and do it every single day.
Oh, all right.
We should all go to the float tank thing.
Yes.
Together.
I've done that. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've done it too. We should all go like have a session together, and we should all do DMT together.
Oh, that I agree with both of those. And
okay.
I would especially...
Everyone add those two things to your list.
I was not a...
Those are obtainable.
I was not a very practiced meditator when I went to the float tank last time, so I would like to go back and do it this time. I feel like I'd get more out of it.
Oh, yeah. Man, I don't know how to meditate at all. And that's what I'm scared of going to the float tank, because here's the thing. When I get woken up at like 3 a.m., all of a sudden, I just sit there with my eyes wide open, like not able to turn my brain off. I'm like, what was the difference between Mortal Kombat 3
yeah.
and
oh, yeah.
Mortal Kombat 3 Ultimate? Did they have an extra character? I can't place it.
Well, that's what meditation
that's
is.
That's why I have trouble meditating, is getting rid of all that noise.
That's what it
so
is.
So much
I mean,
trouble getting rid of that.
It's kind of like saying the hardest part of MMA is fighting the other guy. It's like, yeah, that's what it is. Like, the hard part of meditating is clearing your mind from all those outside thoughts. That's
right.
What people practice for decades to do. Don't feel bad that you're having trouble. Literally, every person on Earth has trouble. You would have to be the John Jones of meditation to not have trouble with that.
Okay.
That's your resolution. Be the John Jones of meditation.
There you go.
Attainable.
Yeah. Stop using performance-enhancing drugs.
Well,
which I guess is heroin. I don't know.
DMT?
Yeah, you guys remember I used to have Joe Rogan's ISO tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was weird. Like, it was... I only did it a handful of times, but I never really...
How did you get Joe Rogan's isolation tank?
Won it in a contest.
And what did you do with it?
I ended up having to get rid of it because the HOA, where we lived in our condos, they were like... It's a liability because if it leaks or whatever, it's going to ruin all this property.
Right.
It's draining the electricity because it has to be on all the time.
Yeah.
And rather than argue with them, I was like, finally, I was like, fuck it. All right, I'll get rid of it.
What'd you sell it for?
like $4,000.
Okay, oh, that's Jesus. Not bad.
Which
not
at
bad.
The time, that's when we were going through the divorce, so yeah. that all just went to like me moving and getting a new place and shit like that.
All right, so that kept your head. Ironically, it kept your head above water.
Yeah. But they are great. They're fantastic. Personally, I wouldn't necessarily want to even have one because of all those maintenance issues you talked about. And it's gotten really cheap where you can just go. And yep. I'll tell you this, right?
It sounds just like the jacuzzi with a lid.
Well, it is, but it's kind of cool because it's the same temperature as your body and you float in it because it's got so much salt. So you can't, once you get into it and it's perfectly dark, yeah. you can't feel your own body, which is a very
it's
weird
situation. It's literally like you're floating in space.
I've yes. felt that before. Yeah. I don't care.
No, it's really nice. And I'll tell you this, Ryan, there is a float tank place right next to the VR place.
Yeah.
I say we go do both.
Isn't there one other place in there that sounded awesome?
Escape room.
Escape room, right.
We'll make a day of it.
Yeah.
we'll take acid first.
But we don't know which one we're going to.
Yeah, everyone eat the food in front of you. One contains two hits of acid, one contains an eighth of mushrooms, and one of them, sorry, man.
One of them's poison.
One of them's the acid from my sister-in-law's contact lenses.
And Ryan just put on these contact lenses. No! All right, let's call it a week.
Wait, before we call it a week, Bobby, you and I have a debt to pay right now.
Oh, that's right.
$5 on you?
Yes, I do. It's all right. There at my desk.
All right.
Ryan Shores comes out $10 richer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because?
Oh, yeah. I chose John Jones.
Yes. Sorry, my money's over there on my desk, but I'll grab it to you.
Bobby's welching. He's welching.
I knew it. Yes. All right. Well, way to pay up, fellas. All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. Oh, my God. He lost his dick.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by.